Some of you may remember back in 2002, there was a plane crash that killed 71 people. This plane crash had some people from Switzerland. There was a chartered flight that had some Swiss folks on it, and they ran into a Russian plane that was just a cargo plane. And as I said, 71 people were killed that night. There was one man who lost his wife and two kids in that crash. And after that tragic event, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but his name was Kaloyev, he said when he was being interviewed and he was talking about the tragedy, he said, and I quote, "I cannot live anymore. I simply cannot exist." He was obviously tore up about it and having a tough time going on. And that night, the air traffic controller, his last name was Nelson, and he was on duty, and the system that tells them about oncoming planes and the tracking system, it had gone down. For whatever reason, it wasn't working, and so the collision avoidance system was no good, and I guess just before this plane collided, he had just very few seconds to tell these two planes they were on the same path. Unfortunately, it wasn't early enough, and the planes collided. So as the story goes, 2 years later in 2004, this Kaloyev, he was having trouble dealing with life. He showed up at Nelson's doorstep. He wanted to confront him. He was still angry about this plane crash that had killed his wife and two kids. And unfortunately, he took vengeance into his own hands, and he killed this Nelson in front of his family. He showed up at his house, said that he did not have intention of doing that, but had a knife with him, and stabbed him to death right in front of his family. He took matters into his own hands. This morning, I want to talk to you about acting like our Heavenly Father. I had Christian read from Matthew this morning, and that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time, but I thought there was some good verses there for us to ponder about how we can act like our Heavenly Father. When Jesus spoke about responding to evil, He laid out two principles. Two basic principles for us He laid out. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Principle number one, don't resist an evil person. Principle number two, we read on in verses 39 through 42, it says, "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Principle number two is a basic one. Respond to evil by doing good. Now, I said they're basic. I didn't say they're easy, but I said they're basic. Two simple principles. Resist to an evil person. Do not resist an evil person. And don't respond evil for evil. These are going to be challenging tasks for us. They were challenging tasks for His disciples. And it's extremely tempting to respond with evil, especially when we're mistreated. If we read on down, and Christians read this for us, but I'm going to read it again. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, you shall love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who loved you, what reward have you? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So here we find Jesus teaching about the treatment of enemies. And we're told that we ought to act in a manner that's described in those four or five verses that we just read. Throughout this lesson, I want us to think about the Sermon on the Mount and make comparisons to that and be thinking about that. You know, the law of Moses and the interpretation of it, the law did not say to hate your enemy. It taught that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. We can go straight to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." He also taught kindness. Kindness was to be shown to our enemies. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, it says, "If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it." You know, I was thinking about this passage. Some of you live out in kind of a farming area. How many times have you come across your neighbor's cow being out? And I don't know why this is, but when you come across cattle being out, it seems like for me, you're always in a hurry. You've got somewhere to be. You have something you need to be doing other than taking the time to, I got to go help my neighbor here. He's got $1,000 cow out. But, you know, it's hard to do, but we're told we need to be doing it. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's happening in our life, be helpful to those. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 through 22. "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you." Have you thought about this heaping coals of fire on the forehead or the head of those who don't like you? You know, someone that can't stand you, I want you to think about for a minute, and maybe none of us like to think about this, but I know there are people that just don't maybe like us. Maybe they don't like you. You don't know why they don't like you, or maybe you do know why they don't like you, but they just don't like you. They're your enemy. And quite frankly, they're not expecting you to do good to them. And you know, when we do the exact opposite of what they're expecting, this exact thing happens right here. You know, if our enemy is thirsty, they're hungry, you give them food, give them water. And what happens? You heap coals on their head. You know, another way maybe to think about this is it shocks them. It embarrasses them. And it maybe makes them, maybe at the time, angry. Or it inflames them. I want you to think about this. It inflames them to maybe love and kindness. It does the exact opposite of what they're expecting. Have you ever had someone do the exact opposite of what you're expecting? It's kind of shocking. You don't know what to do. And that's exactly what's being talked about right here. The proper response to evil. Jesus proclaims these two principles. Do not resist an evil person. You know, we shouldn't be taking vengeance into our own hands. That's a pretty simple lesson. Don't even oppose or resist the evil person when evil is being done. That's just not a concept that we're really familiar with. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But under the old law, Jesus repeatedly forbade personal vengeance. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22, it says, "Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you." Proverbs chapter 24, verse 29, "Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." Do not do that. In both the Old and the New Testament, the matter of vengeance is left up to who? God. It's God's job. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, so we're in the New Testament, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay evil,' says the Lord." This is the Lord's job. We have to be patient. You know, in those verses that we read, verses 39 through 42, talks about responding to evil by doing good. Jesus illustrates this principle with several examples, responding to physical abuse. Turn the other cheek, we read. This may refer to offering the other cheek as an expression of love. Jesus gives us a really good example. And I'm going to read in John chapter 18 where he physically does this. John chapter 18, verses 22 and 23 says, "And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus." And I should have went back a little further. Jesus had made some comments here. And so one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" He could have responded in kind. He absolutely could have killed the person, but he didn't. He just asked a question and moved on. You know, the story that I told you about with Kaleyev and Nelson, you know, I was thinking about how Nelson probably, so this is 2 years after the fact when Kaleyev shows up at his house. You think that Nelson was having any issues dealing with that? That was his job. He was the person supposed to keep the skies safe. And he failed. But he failed because of his instruments failed. He didn't have instrumentation that showed him, because it went down, that these two planes were going to crash. Don't you think he felt horrible about that? This poor guy was probably wrestling with this, and probably would have wrestled with it the rest of his life, knowing that on his watch, 71 people died. So instead of Kaleyev showing up to his doorstep and saying, "Hey, you know, I know this is a tough time for you, just as it's a tough time for me," he does the exact opposite. He goes and they get into some type of confrontation or whatever, and he ends up killing him. How could that have gone different? How could that have been a different situation? He could have turned the other cheek. He could have gone to comfort Nelson, but instead he didn't. We're told about responding to a civil suit by giving more than what the person is suing for. That doesn't make sense. And I think that there might be a little bit of an exaggeration to prove a point here. But you know, and I had to do some reading, but you know, when we're talking about a tunic, you're talking about your outer garment back then. So if someone's suing you over your tunic, what's he tell you to do? Give you your cloak. Well, what's your cloak? That's your inner garment. Well, what happens if you give your outer garment and your inner garment? You're basically naked. I think the point being made here is maybe a little bit of an exaggeration, but it drives the point home. If they're suing you over your outer garment, give them your inner garment. Go above and beyond and shock them. Not shock them because you end up naked, but shock them. Give them more than they thought that they really needed or wanted, or that they had coming to them. Responding to government oppression by offering to do more than is demanded of you. That's in verse 41. Respond to those asking for help by giving them what they ask. Have you ever had someone ask you for something just kind of ridiculous? That's what it says. Verse 42. In each case, the principle is the same. Don't resist the person. Don't mistreat them, even if they're trying to deprive you or mistreat you of your own possessions. Instead, respond in a positive manner. Demonstrate love towards them. Demonstrate love to them. Do so by freely giving them more than they were hoping for. Have you ever had someone go that extra mile with you? What kind of impression did that leave you with? You were shocked. Well, I was just helping them I was hoping to have them help me move. And the next thing you know, they moved all my stuff. And then they helped me by bringing it all in and setting it up. I wasn't even asking for that. Man, that felt good, didn't it? Give people more than they're hoping to gain, or through their own oppression and manipulation. Shock them with kindness. So how do we treat our enemies? Well, Jesus requires that we love our enemies. That is so foreign. Love our enemies. Don't hate them. Love them. Rather, show them active goodwill towards them. Bless those who curse you. You know, they may be speaking evil of you for whatever reason, and you don't know why. Maybe it's because you're just a Christian. Maybe it's because you are a good person following Christ. But they're speaking evil of you. What are we supposed to do? Bless them. Respond to them in kind, or kindly, I mean to say. Do good to those who hate you. They may ignore you. They may do evil things to you. They may say evil thoughts. You know, I've talked to Kinsey, and you have. We all have kids, and maybe you're dealing with things in school where a kid at school said something evil to them, and you're thinking, why? Why are they so mean? And I don't know what it is about girls, but girls seem to be mean in school. Boys, we just get in a fight. I don't know. We're not as mean, right? We're not evil-spirited. But don't respond in kind. So kids, be thinking about that. It's going to happen. You're a Christian. You're a good person. You're going to do things that maybe these other kids don't do, and they just don't like that. They're just going to say or do or be mean to you. So what are you going to do? Well, guess what? You can pray for them. We should be praying for them. He tells us to pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Hard to do, but a simple concept. Pray for them, not just about them, but pray for them. Pray for their well-being. Pray for, more importantly, them to know God and be saved. Think about those enemies, those people who are saying and doing all the wrong things. Pray for their salvation. Pray for them in a way that maybe you heap coals of fire on their head and they have a shocked response to that and you turn them to God. What an awesome thing, huh? Have you ever had an enemy that ended up being a friend? You ever had a coworker that you thought, this isn't going to go well? And it didn't go well for a while. And then you change their mind or you change their tune? That's kind of a neat feeling, isn't it? This is an expansion of the principles in verses 39 through 42. Don't seek vengeance. Don't let your mind go there. Don't let it start spinning. Don't be thinking about a conniving thought. Don't be thinking of flying clear across the country to show up at Nelson's door. I'm going to get him back. Don't resist the evil person. Instead, react by manifesting aggressive love. You ever thought about that? When you think of the word aggressive, you don't think about love. Show someone aggressive love. What does that mean? Go out of your way to show them love. Be thinking about all the ways you can pay them back with love. Well, why, Clayton, should we respond in this way? That just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Why would we do that? Well, Jesus goes on to tell us exactly why we do it. Reasons to react in the ways I've been telling you. So that we may be sons, and I'm going to fill in here, sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. That's why we do that. It's a way for us to demonstrate ourselves to be truly His children. Have you thought about that? Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it ends by saying that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Speaking about being like our Father. What's our Father like? What is our Father like? He gives material blessings to both the evil and the good, both the righteous and unrighteous. See, part of that verse 45 says, "For He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust." I've read that verse thousands of times. And I've thought about it, and I go, oh yeah, well, you know, it rains on everybody, and sun comes on everybody. What is it really telling us? That He does good to people that literally hate Him. Hate Him. Wouldn't even recognize Him. Don't pray to Him. Don't acknowledge Him. Think that He doesn't even exist. I think this is such an important note and such an easy little passage that we gloss over and we go, well, yeah, of course. You know, He makes it rain on everybody and He gives everybody sunshine. No, no. He blesses a lot of people. Everybody. All walks of life. What are you doing for your enemy? At one time, we were His enemy. We didn't know Him. We didn't like Him. Somebody told us about Him. We were raised in the church. We were born into Him. He's blessing us with eternal life. How are you blessing your enemies? Are you praying for them? He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. But love your enemies, do good, and lend. hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Are you expecting your Father to be merciful to you? I'm prayerful that He is to me. How merciful are you to your brothers and sisters? I hope extremely. But more importantly, how merciful are you to the person that doesn't like you, that speaks evil of you? That's tough. He offered His Son while we were still sinners and while we were still His enemy. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 10. "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He loved us before we loved Him. 1 John 4, verse 10. "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We are to imitate our Heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 4 and 11, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31, and there's a little bit into chapter 5, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." We are to be different than the tax collectors. I get it. We don't think of our tax collector today, I hope you don't, as the tax collectors in the Bible times. In Jesus' day, they were despised. They were looked at as just not very good people. Why? Because there's examples of them making themselves rich by collecting taxes from their fellow man and stealing from them. They were not good people. Matthew 5, we read this, but in verses 46 and 47 says, "If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" So basically, if I love you, big deal. I should love you. That's easy. Hopefully you love me. That's a no-brainer. Well, the tax collectors do that. They love their own mom. They love their own father. They love the people that love them. But what'd they do to others? They stole from them. And, going on here, "And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others?" Well, I can greet you at the door. "Hey, Eric, how's it going? Did you have a good week?" "Yeah, good." "Oh," and go right on. And we're done. That's it. That's the only thing. Then Eric calls me. "Hey, getting ready to build a barn. Can you help me raise a wall?" "No, I don't know. I don't know. I got things going on." Do not even the tax collectors do so? Tax collectors greet each other. "Hey, how's it going?" "Good, okay, have a good one." We don't want to be like the tax collectors. We want to do the exact opposite. It should be easy for us to love each other and go out of our way and do all those things we've been talking about. Why? So we can be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Are you achieving to be perfect? That's kind of hard to think about. I don't think we get used to thinking about being perfect at anything. Why? Because we're just not. We're just not. I mean, think of something you're really good at, but are you perfect at it? You might be achieving or striving for that, but the word perfect here means to be brought to completion, full grown, lacking nothing. Are you striving to lack nothing? Are you striving to be full grown? Or do you still want to act like a kid? In this context, it has reference to the matter of showing love and mercy. There's a parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." We read that. Are you being merciful to your brothers and sisters? Are you being merciful to other mankind? Just like your Father in heaven is? When we display love and mercy to our enemies, we are complete. We're full grown. And if today, this morning, you find yourself going, man, I can't do this. That's okay. You're not full. You're not complete yet. Keep working on it. Keep praying about it. Keep studying. Be thinking about how am I going to be just like Him? How can I be perfect just like my Father's perfect? Our Father shows kindness to unthankful, evil men. Always has, and He always will. Are you showing kindness to those who are evil to you? I know it's a simple delivery, simple message, but something is very difficult for us. If we really want to be sons and daughters of God, there's a couple things we have to do. And we must be perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. It's imperative that we are influenced by Him, influenced by more than just His teaching and His examples. But we have an attitude and a demeanor that's much different from the tax collectors, the exact opposite. This morning, I'll leave this message with you. If you find that you are not acting like your Father who is in heaven, or that you're not emulating your Father, but you found that you're emulating what you see in the world. Because guess what? We're inundated with it. We read stories and we watch people go kill other people and go in kind show others what they've done to us. We're surrounded by that. So it's really easy as we walk amongst other people, we work with other people, and we're around other people, and we watch TV, and we see how people want to repay evil with evil. It's easy to think, well, yeah, they did me wrong. We can't do that. We need to act like the Father. We need to make sure that we are praying for others, that we do not respond to our enemies in kind. We don't resist evil people, and we don't respond evil with evil. We do the exact opposite, and we offer good to them. We'll offer the gospel invitation to you this morning. Hopefully these thoughts will cause you to think, cause us to be more like Him, and cause us to strive to be perfect as He is perfect. If you have a need, please come forward as we stand and sing.